3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your questions, comments, and input. And lest I forget it, and sometimes I do that, the telephone number will be 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to have a brief monologue, or immediately following the monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the Truth Book. Many times, an individual will look at the scripture as, the Columbus system. You just open the Bible, seek out and land, and whatever verse you land on, that's your verse for the day. It can be very hazardous sometimes in doing that. I recommend it, the Truth Book. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Furthermore, a declaratory statement is made about the authenticity and the authority of the Word of God. John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." It's the Truth Book, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to turn to. This is the reason we're talking about an issue today, trusting in God, not in government. Trusting in God, not in government. It is a well-known fact, ladies and gentlemen, that many people today want to trust in the government for education, trust in the government for health care, trust in the government for making a determination on whether or not we're safe in America, that our borders are secure, etc. And all of those things are well and good, but we can't place our faith and trust in them. In fact, in the scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways," didn't say some of the ways, "all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I think many times, even as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we fail to recognize the authority of the scripture and what the scripture says. I call it the trust and confidence in that text. It's commanded. It's not an option. It's commanded. And the caution is given that we lean not on our own understanding. I believe we're operating on a system today found even in some of our churches where the mindset is that I can just lean on my own understanding. I can make my own decisions. I can lean unto what I think is good and bad and what I should do. But the counsel from God is, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path." And that's the thesis, the theme, the thought, the theological persuasion, even today, as we think about what is happening in our world. We're going to talk about some of the things and areas that we've been lied to by the government. We're going to talk about some of the things that's taking place today to correct some of those wrongs, i.e., former FBI Director James Comey has just been indicted. What did he do? Did he do something wrong? We're going to talk about that. We're going to examine that and ask you your thoughts, your insight, your opinion on what should happen to James Comey. Christopher Wray, sat before the investigating committee on the House and the Senate, and Christopher Wray said that there were no FBI agents involved in the J6, what they called riots. And now we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, 275 FBI agents were in the group, and yet they prosecuted about 1,400 sane, upstanding American citizens for going into their capital with no weapons, with no uprising, with no intent for anarchy, and yet it was promulgated, pushed, propagated, and carried out at the behest of the FBI director. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the issues today and how they're so, and the American system is so entangled with the what is taking place in government, and yet we're supposed to believe and trust the government. I go back to the fact that we need to look at the Word of God. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we ought to stand on. I go to the quote from the secularist George Orwell. Orwell said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factual and actual in today's society, especially when it comes to the government and what the government says. We need to understand the need today to depend on truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, as the oath is when you're sworn into as a witness in the court of law. I am surprised to see, according to the latest survey, that 55% of the millennials, the 18 to 35 year old age group, 55% say there's no absolute truth. Now, I understand there's a major youth movement today that is in part because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He was leading a great movement. In fact, President Donald J. Trump said that he probably would not have been elected president had it not been for Charlie Kirk. And yet there are hundreds of thousands today that are standing up, speaking up, being heard, and being seen as a result of Kirk's assassination. So I commend them for that. But nevertheless, the latest survey said that 55% of that age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no absolute truth. And that fact, their statement says each person determines their own version of truth. And I look at a huge article that's entitled, Western Society Will Be Destroyed Without a Commitment to Truth. And I don't think you could go any plainer statement than that to say that our society is going to be destroyed unless we have a commitment to truth. The article starts this way. American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And we're going to talk about government today and what we see, what we have seen, and where we are, and what is taking place. And yet the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats on the left are screaming that President Trump is going to destroy democracy. By the way, I must say this. We've had a shutdown of the government. And I don't know about you, but I'm frightened to death. Joke. We're perhaps safer today than we were yesterday if the government shut down. You remember it was Ronald Reagan during his presidency. He said the most dangerous words spoken when someone from the government knocks on your door and says, we're here from the government and we're here to help you. Ronald Reagan said that's the most dangerous words could be spoken. We're from the government and we're here to help you. Ladies and gentlemen, that couldn't be any truer than what we're seeing in the governmental system today. Let me give you a quote from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I pray that you'll understand that. If we do not stand for truth today, if we do not defend the truth today, there may not be an opportunity a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. Someone said on an occasion that a generation from now, that parents will be telling their children, you know, in America, we used to be free. You know, in America, we used to have the freedom to speak. You know, in America, we used to have the freedom of religion. You know, our America that we're living in today, in yesteryear, we had the right to keep and bear arms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not want to see America devolve to that position. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time gives the full line of equipment for the homeowner with homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you might ask the question, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few more moments on a monologue. And we'll get to the bottom line of what say you. What are your thoughts on it? We have I've said for a week now that we would have a government shutdown. A government shutdown. Someone said perhaps we're safer now than we were yesterday as a result of the government shutdown. Someone called it Freedom Day. Let me just read you some statistics that I received this morning about the shutdown. 13,432 EPA employees are on furlough. 2,117 Department of Education workers are on furlough. 34,711 Department of Commerce on furlough. 9,792 Department of Labor employees on furlough. 4,359 HUD workers on furlough. And now the Marxist media and the loons on the left are screaming murder. The world's coming. The world's going to come to an end because the government's on shutdown. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying, listen very carefully, I'm praying that President Donald J. Trump will take this as an opportunity to fire thousands of federal workers. I'm praying that President Donald Trump will use this as an opportunity to expedite the shutting down of the U.S. Department of Education. I am praying, ladies and gentlemen, that President Donald J. Trump will, God will give him wisdom and protection to use this as a perfect tool to be able to institute DOGE requirements with so many thousands. It's a fluff in the workforce. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened to say, but it's a fact. We have those that will go to Washington and formulate laws, legislation, and promulgate rules and regulations to enforce it on we the people. But most of them feel that somehow, some way, they are exempt from the laws that they create that we the people are under. Do you realize back a century ago, or approximately therein, our legislators would be elected. They would go to Washington for 30 days or 90 days at the most. They would leave their farms, they would leave their homes, they'd leave their families, they'd leave their law offices, they would leave their dental practices, or whatever profession they had. They would leave it and go to Washington to formulate rules, regulations, and laws to come back home and live under the same rules and regulations and laws that they'd formulated for we the people to live under. We have a totally different system today. The system that we have today, there is the bloat of bureaucrats that somehow, some way feel that they are above the law. We have those today that are present past FBI agents, CIA agents, DOJ leadership, that somehow, some way feel that they are exempt from any rule, regulation, or law, and therefore they can do whatever they please, and we must live by it. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it amazing the number of citizens that place their faith and confidence and trust in the government more than God. there are those today, the loonies on the left, as I call it, that they're thinking that somehow, some way, because there's the government shutdown, that we're just going to go into oblivion and we have no hope and no help. Listen, where's God? Where's God in this equation? What do we do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? Can we as American citizens think that somehow, some way, we've been abandoned because the government's closed? I think the safest days that we have are upon us now. I don't know about you, and I don't know how long the shutdown will be. It will probably be a very limited period of time, because right now Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer are realizing that they made a grave mistake. And many of you listening, you don't know why the shutdown took place. You're thinking somehow, some way, maybe the Republicans did something wrong. And the big, beautiful bill that was passed, part of what the Democrats wanted to do to continue a CR, continuing resolution, for 30 days until a budget could be worked out, a continuing resolution in order for the Democrats to go along with it, they wanted to add $1.5 trillion, $1.5 trillion to taxpayer debt for new money expenditures. And secondly, and probably the greater promulgating factor, they wanted to make sure that on Medicare and Medicaid, that every illegal invader in America could be covered under insurance, medical insurance, paid for by these taxpayers in America. That was the two major things that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries was trying to force upon us. I say us, we the people, the conservatives, patriots, and the Republicans with their head on straight in the Beltway in Washington. That's what they wanted to do. But ladies and gentlemen, they've said no. And so I believe we're living in some, what you would really call, free days today. I want to give you a rundown real quick, then we'll open our telephone lines. We the people have for too long, in my most humble opinion, I'm not an anarchist, I'm just a realist, but I believe for too long we've placed our faith and trust and confidence in the government in just about every facet. Somehow believing, ladies and gentlemen, that we send our kids off in the little yellow school bus to the governmentally controlled schools, that they're going to get an education. No, they're being sexualized, weaponized, and demonized into believing that somehow, some way, that America's bad, that mom and dad's wrong, that God should be avoided, and that government is the only hope for America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to about the source of COVID. We've been lied to about the COVID vaccinations and what it would do, but it did not. We've been lied to about the mask and social distances. We've been lied to about the borders being safe under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. We've been lied to about our schools and the cover-up of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We've been lied to with what has taken place in the public schools with our sons and daughters and grandkids in the schools that have been convinced into transgenderism and even counseled and taken off the campus of the schools to have procedures done on their bodies physically that destroy their lives for the rest of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to by our school system, saying that it is okay for boys to go in girls' bathrooms and vice versa. We've been lied to about the so-called Russiagate that was used to persecute and prosecute and impeach President Trump twice. We've been lied to about the FBI not participating in the January 6th so-called riots. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, under oath said that no agents were involved. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we find that 274, one article says 274, one says 275, but I'm going to use the higher number. 275 FBI agents were in the group, many leading the march inside the Capitol, and yet several thousand citizens were prosecuted and put in jail, and multitudes of them committed suicide because of being prosecuted. I'll just quit at that point. We'll get back to the agenda in detail. But ladies and gentlemen, I've got document after document after document before me that we want to cover in relationship to James Comey, his arrest, his indictment, his trial that's coming up. Should he be tried? Should he be put in jail? Is he illegally prosecuted? Is it because of hatred by Donald Trump? Or is it that justice must be meted out? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, you are dead on point about all of it. Everything that you said, I was going to ask you about it. But, like, the Democrats, they wouldn't sign the bill. I mean, the people out country ruling, they said that, you know, these people going to have more Medicare and Medicaid than an American, and then still send them $1,500 a month. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I'm less than 100 years old, like I said before. I'm less than 100 years old. I work my butt off. I'm not working my butt off for you to be a Stalin, a Lenin, I cannot say a Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of those things are the names that Trump has been called, and all in the Trump orbit's been called that. And as a result of that, we see the end result where somebody like Charlie Kirk was executed, summarily executed, publicly so, assassinated, because he was said to have been a Nazi, he was said to have been a racist, he was said to have been preaching and teaching hate, and yet all of that's absolutely untrue in every aspect of the term.
But can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Please, I know the Democrats, they want, I take care of you. It sounds like Hitler. I'm telling you, Stalin. Oh, look, let the government take care of you. Head to the no. We are a republic. We are a republic. And we should have the last word. Instead of them idiots in Washington, instead of, I'm sorry to say it like this, but these ball joints, little kids coming up, they're on train, and I feel for America. If they get anywhere in offices, high offices, America's going down the drain.
Absolutely. One of the things, by the way, and I'll say this and let you go, one of the things that was kind of a blessing to me, I don't know about others, I watched the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, as he spoke to a room full of generals that had been called to Quantico from across the globe, and their duty stations left in order to come and listen. And Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, he laid the rules and regulations down quite clearly. He basically said, if you're fat and you can't run, you can't work out, you need to find another job and cease being a general. If you think that it's going to be a panty waste operation, you need to think again and find another job. If you think there's going to be DEI and the fact that your skin color or your sexual orientation is going to get you up the ladder, you need to find another job, et cetera, et cetera. He said, we're here to train, we're here to be warriors, and be ready for war, and to be trained to do so. I was thankful for that. It had some of the Democrats all shook up with the hair on fire.
And think about the young lady that was supposed to be protecting our president when he was campaigning. She was like, for something. Come on. You protect a man almost with 6 feet tall.
Yeah, it's an impossibility. Plus the fact I can go back in my mind's eye and see that fiasco at the time of the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I don't know whether it's the young lady, a Secret Service agent, or one of the others. They couldn't even get their weapon out of the holster. They were wrestling with their holster, trying to pull the weapon out. And yet, they're supposed to be there to protect the president. So one of the things that is the focus I want us to understand in today's broadcast is that we need to go back to Joshua, the third chapter, when the children of Israel crossing over into the promised land. The ark was going before them. The ark was representative of the presence of the Lord. And they were told to focus on the Lord. That is, focusing on the ark. They were told to faith the Lord and follow him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm challenging our listeners to do today. We need to focus on God and not on government. And knowing the government's there, knowing that we need to be good citizens, knowing that we need to be patriots, and we need to cast our ballots, we need to talk about the right candidates, and preachers need to talk about the right candidates from the pulpits, and Christians need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you today. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Anybody who's listening right now that is 79 years or older, the Legislative Reorganization Act of 1946 is what brought the representatives out of their districts into a full-time job. So it's been less than 80 years. And they had district offices in the district that they resided in, and they took care of their business for the constituents in the areas that they were elected. Really, they shouldn't be even in D.C. except for a couple of times a year, and that's just for legislative body and work. I watched the Pete Hegseth speech to the generals there. I was in the military in the early 1980, during the Reagan years. I got to see the end and the results of the Carter years and the post-Vietnam, to see the rebuilding of the military. Every single commander that I was, you know, that was over me were in good as shape as I was. I even recall meeting Jumping James Gavin. I don't know if any of you guys know who that is, but he was the man who was the commanding general of the 82nd Airborne, and he was with the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment there. I got to meet that man. Well, I didn't meet him personally, but I got to see that man whenever he was 73 years old. At 73 years old, he was still a fine physical specimen of a man. It was completely amazing to look at this icon for the unit that I was in and see where he was at, and knowing that every single man to my left and my right not only passed the physical fitness test, we exceeded the physical fitness test twice a year. Every officer, every non-commissioned officer, we had no beards, we had no mustaches.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see it play out. In fact, it is my prayer that as a result of that speech and that lecture and that challenge, when they start to implement that program that Pete Hegseth said they're implementing now, that it's going to filter out, if you please, a number of those that are deadheads that ought not to be in there, some of those that were appointed and escalated in rank simply because of DEI, others that are there that think that somehow, some way, they're supposed to sit at the desk and drink coffee, watch television all day and play video games, while the men of war go out in the train. I'm thinking, too, there's some of those that have a background of, I'm just going to use the term, Sikh Indians, where they've got about 10 yards of hair balled up on top of the head with a big bandana or something around it, a turban around it. That's going to remove them because, said, you're going to cut your hair, you're not going to have a beard, and there's nothing wrong if a man wants to have a beard outside of that, but if he's in military, there needs to be that clean cut, that shaven look, and that willingness to be ready to go to war. Jim, I've got a question. I'm looking at a headline that says,
sir?
No undercover FBI agents at January the 6th riot. That is Chris, what's his name? The former FBI agent.
Right.
Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray. Now, here's what the article says. The FBI should have done more together intelligence before the Capitol riot, according to a watchdog report. Thursday, they also said that no FBI agents undercover or any employees of the FBI were on the scene even at January the 6th, 2021, and none of the Bureau informants was authorized to be a participant. The report from the Justice Department Inspector General's office knocks down the fringe conspiracy theory advanced by some Republicans that the FBI played a role in instigating the events of that day. Now, my question is, Jim, was Christopher Wray right, or did he lie to Congress?
One of two things. He either committed perjury to Congress, or he was completely clueless of what his staffers were doing, and that makes him unqualified to ever be in that office.
Absolutely. Here's another article that I want you to respond to. FBI now admits, quote, we had 275 plainclothes agents in the January 6th crowd. The FBI has now informed Congress that 275 plainclothes agents were embedded in the crowds that gathered in Washington January the 6th, 2021, more than 4.5 years after the charges at the U.S. Capitol, according to the reports. The disclosure answers a long-running question about the Bureau's presence that day And now the question is, what should be done? Jim, if you don't mind, let's ask you to hold over till after the top of the hour news. I want to get your take on this new evidence and this new finding and what we should believe and do. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.